Good morning. It's really great to be here this morning. Such an honor to be asked to come and speak and to represent MCC. Todd is here this morning. I convinced him to come. He wasn't sure if he should come, but I told him I figured out after 1,120 sermons over 20 years that he could come and hear me for one. As Tom mentioned, I'm the Director of Development for MCC, which is a fancy way to say that I oversee all the fundraising efforts of the organization in Ontario. And lots of people, when they hear fundraising, they go, oh, it's kind of not on their bucket list at all. But let me tell you, I have one of the best jobs in the world because I get to stand in that place between the generosity of people and the need in the world. And I get to help translate that. And it is just an incredible honor and blessing over and over to see the generosity of God's people in meeting needs. And speaking of generosity, this church is an incredibly generous church. Todd and I felt that the whole time we were here and continue to see that in the different ways that you engage in our community. And this morning with Project Give, this is the 9th year of doing Project Give, and that is just absolutely fabulous. And there are many people that are connected with MCC, as it's been referred to. Maybe put together a couple of slides here to show you some of the faces around here that you may recognize, people who volunteer and people who work on staff. We've just watched the video about MCC, and I'm thinking that there are people here that you know the work very, very well, and it goes back decades, your knowledge. And there may be people here this morning and you've never even heard of MCC before, and that's okay. So I hope that regardless of where you are in that continuum, that you'll learn a little bit more about who we are. So as the video shared, MCC has been around for almost 100 years and started as a response to what was happening in the former Soviet Union, specifically in Ukraine, and it's grown into what it is today. And there is a world map here. So currently, we are in 56 countries, with 550 partners, with 767 distinct projects. And that's a lot. When people come and they come onto staff with MCC and they're determined to figure out and know all about our work, we tell them, don't bother. We do so much that you can't ever really get your head around all that's going on in the world. It's a really great expanse. We're basically a worldwide ministry of the Anabaptist Church, and West Heights is part of that. As an Anabaptist church and as part of the Be in Christ, we are actually part of MCC. I don't know if you know that, but it's actually a very formal part of MCC. And we work in three main areas. So we work in disaster relief. So that is, you know, when there's the earthquakes and the hurricanes, we are on the ground responding. So two things I want to say about that. First of all, we don't respond in North America. We only respond internationally. We have another organization, a partner organization that responds in North America. And we only respond in countries where we are already there. So if there is an earthquake in Australia, we won't be responding there. We only go where we have established work and partnerships, and as part of the infrastructure of how we work. And I'm going to share a story about that in a bit. We work in sustainable development, so providing lasting solutions to poverty. You know, we meet basic human need in disasters, but then we wanted to go beyond that in sustainable development, providing solutions to poverty. And then the third area we work in is peace building and providing nonviolent solutions to conflict. And I'm going to tell a story in a couple minutes, an example of the peace-building work we do. So in addition to our international work, we also have local work. So here in Ontario, you may be familiar with some of our programs. We have poverty programs, restorative justice, Indigenous neighbors, Low German, refugee resettlement, and your partnership with MCC goes back many, many years in helping to resettle refugees, and then our material aid. And so what you're doing this morning with the hygiene kits is part of our material aid, which is our relief work. And then Heather so clearly shared about thrift. So the thrift shops in Ontario, we own 8 thrift shops, and we have 3 associate shops. Those stores together, those shops, the net proceeds, so all the net proceeds of what comes in from thrift goes to this work, 100% of it. And last year was $3.5 million. It's very significant. And so this is my little plug to shop at thrift on Kent or in New Hamburg, Elmira. Value Village is for profit. Just want to say that. That's for profit, and we're not for profit. And Heather's always looking for volunteers if you're interested. It's a really great part of what we do. So why do we do what we do? Why do we do this work? Well, as Christ followers, we really want to be living how Jesus told us to live. And the verse in Matthew 25, you'll be familiar with this, 35 to 40. It's a familiar passage where Jesus is talking to the people, and he's talking about separating the sheep and the goats. So basically the people that were following his will and those that weren't. And this is what he said. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. And that is the very heart of MCC. In the name of Christ, we're extending compassion and kindness to some of the most vulnerable people in the world. So how do we do our work? Well, I mentioned we work in partnership. So that means that we work within the culture of the countries that we're in, according to what their needs are and within their infrastructure. So we don't come from North America and say, oh, they need some water sources in Africa. We're going to show up and build them some wells. Rather, we are invited by an organization that is established, and we come alongside them in partnership, and we help to provide the resources and the support and the accountability to do these projects. So it's a wonderful model because it's us responding, and it also helps us for our money to go further because we're not having to bring all these North Americans over to do the work. It's done by local people. And so it's a really, really super model. And this morning, I want to take some time to share some stories to give you a bit more of an inside look into our work. So in the area of relief, one of the countries I want to tell you about is Nepal, and there are some slides here. So we have been in Nepal for 60 years doing sustainable development, so helping them in their livelihoods with agriculture, do nutrition training, food sustainability. So been there for a long time with deeply established partnerships and trust. When the earthquake hit 2 years ago, because of our established partnerships, we were able to respond there within 24 hours. We were having a response to the disaster. If you want to go to the next slide. And so people's homes were destroyed, and the places where we were responding and working were in remote areas. So it never would hit the media. There'd be no news coverage. There'd be no other aid organization going to some of those areas. And they're very difficult to get to. But it was amazing how we mobilized very quickly with our partners and began to distribute some aid. There you have, actually, one of the vehicles got stuck, and you got a lot of people helping. Eventually, they had to unload it, and they carried it by hand. Everybody came and carried up the mountain to get the food into the areas. If you go to the next one. And here you have a gentleman who received, received food, and they received tarps. And one of the best stories that came out of Nepal that has stuck with me, I think about it all the time, was that we were able to get tarps. So people's homes were destroyed, and it was raining, and it was cold, and they needed shelter. So how are you going to give shelter in remote areas? And we had these tarps and everything they needed to have a tarp shelter. And a local organization supplier in Nepal gave us the tarps on credit. Because they said they knew that MCC, again, we've been there for years, they knew we'd be good for the money. And so we were able to get all these tarps instantly, and which is amazing in a third world country that they gave us credit. And if you go to the next slide, is another woman and her family that received aid, example. And then go to the next one. And so we also gave out steel for them to build a bit more permanent structure. And so this was a process of distributing steel. And then the last picture here, I love this because this now gets into sustainable development. So now we're doing projects, teaching them how to rebuild their homes with earthquake-proof homes. And so there's all kinds of training, and you can see they're learning that they're putting steel into the concrete when they're building these buildings. So that just gives you, I love the Nepal story because it kind of shows you, you know, the relief part and the sustainable development part that we do. Go to the next slide here. And another example of sustainable development is our sand dams. So the sand dams, the concept was developed by an engineer that worked for MCC. And the sand dams, you know, you go into these countries and they have these torrential rainfalls. And the rain comes and it goes through their riverbeds. And then in the dry season, it's dry and it's parched and there's nothing. So, you know, plenty and then nothing. So the sand dams, we go into a community and we work with them locally. We hire the local people. We provide the supplies. And they build these concrete dams that go deep, deep into the sand. And then what happens in the rainy season is that these dams fill up with sand. Then in the dry season, if you go to the next slide, so in the dry season, they dig into the mud, into the sand, and they keep digging. And below the sand is a water source. And it's filtered. It's filtered water through the sand so they can then drink the water. They don't have to go spend all day fetching water. It's right there in their community. And then they use this for watering animals and their gardens along the riverbank. So it's transformed entire communities, these simple sand dams. So we've done a number of those in the world. And then the next thing I would like to tell you about is our peace work. So this is Isa Mbamolo, and he's from Zambia. And in 2006, in partnership with MCC, he founded Peace Clubs. So I've been with MCC for 4 years, and I understood all of our work except the peace work. I have to tell you that I didn't understand, how do you do peace? Like, you know, how do you do this whole peace thing? And Isa is an incredible example of something that MCC is doing in partnership. So in Zambia, the whole country is built on a corporal punishment and vengeance model. So if you have a conflict, you fight it out, literally. And children are allowed to be hit and strapped in school. And if there's conflict in families, there's violence. And that's what the culture is built on. And so he developed this model called Peace Clubs. And he began to go into schools and teach the children how to resolve conflict through dialogue and through understanding, and worked with kids from different religious groups and began to bring them together. And if you go to the next picture here, there's a couple of kids that are in a class, and then in the next picture. And it is amazing what that has done. Peace clubs have actually gone all over the world. They've gone in Africa and other places in the world, and believe it or not, they've come back to Canada. So it's amazing that MCC supported this project in Zambia. It's gone in the world, and guess what? It's come to Canada. So some school boards are now picking this up and using it in their schools, and the Meeting House is developing a whole curriculum and is beginning to disseminate it. So it's gone the full cycle because it works. And I'll tell you a story. True story that Esau shares that happened a few years ago. One of the schools that he was working in that had a peace club, in that school, what happens when they go off from high school to university is they have to sit for exams. So all the students pay a fee and to sit for their exams, they write their exams, and then they get the results. So they did that. They paid their fee, they wrote their exams, and the results didn't come. And they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and they began to investigate, why are we not getting the results from our exams? And they discovered the reason they weren't getting the results was because the administrator of the school, the principal, had stolen the money. And with the money, he had purchased a house, and he had purchased a car. So the students began to hear about what had happened with their money, and they were very, very angry. And the parents and the students got together, and they decided in true Zambian fashion that the way they were going to resolve this was that they were going to kill him, literally kill him. And so they began to plan to get together. They set a date. They were all going to gather weapons, and they were going to kill him and kill the staff and burn the school. So you can see why that is not a good solution to conflict. And what happened was, in that school, there was a peace club that had been established, and the kids from the peace club got wind that this was going on, and they went home to their parents and said, no, this is not the right way to resolve this. We've been learning about this. This is a different way. And so those parents then went to the administrator of the school. There actually were minutes of the meeting about killing him. They actually had minutes. And they brought a copy of these minutes to the administrator and said, there's a plan. You've stolen the money, and they're coming to kill you next Friday. And so, of course, he confessed and said, it's true. I stole the money. But they knew that wasn't enough. So what they did was they brought all the students and the parents together with this administrator. He fully confessed that he'd done this, and then he sold his house, sold his car, and signed over his paycheck. And they were able to bring a peaceful resolution to that situation because of the partnership that MCC has with ESA and the Peace Clubs. So that's just one example of the work we do, and I could give you many, many more examples of that. And so... another place that we're working is North Korea. A lot of people don't realize that. We are in North Korea. We're one of the very few Christian organizations in the world, and we're working in North Korea, and we are providing food for orphanages and in hospitals. We provide soya beans that get made into milk for children. And we are there because we are building bridges with North Korea. We've been there since 1955. And someday when those walls come down, they're going to trust MCC in the world. We're going to be able to help them to build the bridges with the rest of the world. And just this past May, we had a group of five men from North Korea interested in agriculture who came over to Winnipeg, and they were learning about some of our agricultural processes. So that doesn't really hit the news, but we are working in North Korea. And MCC has respect of government and all different places in the world. It's been amazing and very, very humbling to me to see the level of respect that we have. But it's because of how we do our work and how we've worked with these countries over many, many years. Today at West Heights, you are partnering with us to do hygiene kits. And once again, when I first started working at MCC, and even when I was here at West Heights and we put together these hygiene kits, it doesn't look like much, right? You get some of the stuff at the dollar store, and you get some stuff at Shoppers, and you bring it in, and you go, this doesn't really seem like very much. How can this be so helpful? But if you can imagine being in a situation where, because of a war, you get 10 minutes notice that you need to vacate your house, and you grab your children, and you grab your shoes, and you may grab some water, and you flee. And there are millions of people that are in this situation where they flee. And something as simple as, if you want to go to the next picture here, something as simple as these relief kits provide decency and respect to human beings in these situations, where they can wash their face, brush their teeth, cut their fingernails, wash their hair, that kind of thing. And so the kits that you are putting together today, I always love doing this kind of thing, because the next people that touch that are going to be those people. After you touch it and put it together and it goes off, it goes in containers, and these are quilts, so when you help put together quilts. In Ontario, our color is orange, and so it's beautiful when we see pictures that come back in the world. Whenever we see orange tarps and stuff, it's come out of Ontario. It's a way for us to see. And every part, and these quilts, there's like 30 or 40, they air compress them in this baler, and there'd be like 30 quilts in one of those. And when those go off into the world and they land somewhere, every part is used. They use the tarp, they use it on their floors, they use it for, you know, their roofs, the little vinyl strap around it, they use for a clothesline, and those quilts become so cherished. People will keep those through all, like years and years, they'll still keep the quilt. And then, as I said, the relief kits. I want to tell you about the nail clippers. Those nail clippers that go in those kits have reduced disease in communities, because they discovered that's where often things get trapped under the nails, and they can keep their nails clean. And the simple nail clippers help to reduce disease. So when those kits go back to MCC, they will be checked to make sure they have the nail clippers. That's the most important thing in them because of the impact. And those are kids receiving some of the relief kits. I want to just end my time with one final story. It's a story that that I saw in the news this last July, and you may have heard about it too. It happened at Panama City Beach in Florida, when a young family with four children set off in a nice, pleasant evening to the beach. And they were at the beach, and their two young boys, ages 8 and 11, wasted no time going into the water. A short time later, they became caught in a riptide. And if you know what a riptide is, it's a fast-moving current, and they couldn't get out of the riptide, and they kept getting pulled out further into the ocean. And so the parents, they ran out after them, and some other people ran out after them. And before you know it, there were 9 people caught in this riptide, all at risk of drowning. At the same time, a young woman had been walking along the beach, and she just found a boogie board that had been discarded, and she had picked it up. When she noticed this crowd developing on the beach, pointing out at the water, she actually thought it was a shark. She thought there was a shark coming in and people were gathering. When she caught sight of these bobbing heads, and she realized that they could die. And she, at that moment in time, said in her heart that there's no way that these people are going to die on her watch. And she was a strong swimmer. So she wasted no time, and she ran into the water with her boogie board. And about the same time, her husband saw her do this, and he knew that she would need some kind of rope to actually get them through the riptide. She would need something to help pull them back in. And he began to look for rope, but not being able to find any, he quickly grabbed his family on the beach. They ran to the beach, and they joined arms. Other people began to see what was happening, and they had 80 people come together and join arms to go out into the water. These were people who couldn't swim. They were different languages, they were different sizes, they were different ages, they were different sexes. But they all joined together, and each one of them joining together made it out to that riptide. So she brought them in with the boogie board to the end of the chain, and one by one, every one of them was saved. I watched that story, everything I could find on that story, the video, the news, because I found it incredibly inspiring, because it's a picture of what we can do together. None of us need to be extra talented or gifted or skilled in anything. But when we all come together, you know, as like Heather was sharing earlier with the Christmas lights, as we all come together and we do our small part, we can make phenomenal difference to the people receiving. And I think that is a picture of very much of who West White Heights is as such a community church. And then particularly this morning as we work together with Project Give. Your gifts are not insignificant, and the people that they touch and the lives that they help, are it's just deeply appreciated. So I want to leave that picture with you, and I want to thank you for all that you've done in partnering with MCC, and just even as a church, just a generous spirit here. And thank you for the honor to be here this morning.
Just to stay up for a sec. Before I give you some instructions about how we're going to do Project Give, and I'm just going to get the band to come up behind me while I do this, I just want us to pray for Kim and pray for MCC and what they're doing as an organization. As you heard from Kim, MCC does incredible work, and oftentimes nobody knows that they're doing it. I think MCC is one of the best-kept stories, despite all the work they do to tell their stories, one of the best-kept stories in the world. And so I want to just invite you to join with me as we pray not only for Kim and her work, but also for the work of MCC here and around the world. Jesus, thank you so much for our brothers and sisters who work at MCC, both here and abroad. Thank you for the time and energy they pour into sometimes completely unknown work, sometimes for security reasons, and sometimes just because they're so humble of spirit that they just don't, the word never gets out about the amazing people that they're helping. And I pray, Jesus, that you will help expand our hearts and our minds and our curiosity to learn more about what MCC is doing, to maybe get involved ourselves, either financially or in just small, practical ways. I pray for Kim's work as she works to expand the story of what MCC is doing in the world, that you will bless her storytelling and her ability to share with people, and that MCC's reputation will continue to just grow and grow and grow. Because their impact is so great. Thank you for the work you're doing through them, and I pray that you will bless MCC's work everywhere that they go. Amen.